Blog Talk Radio.
David Barton, Dan.
Welcome,
listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so glad you joined us tonight for another exciting show. Tonight we're going to have a great conversation about the blood moons and many other things that are happening in our world today and in God's world. So this is going to be very exciting and interesting. So to get us started right away, Diana will be with us in just a few minutes. And to get us started today, Mr. Dan is going to open us in prayer. He's our guest today. And Mr. Dan, would you open us in prayer, and then we'll get underway. And I can't wait to get into this conversation.
All right, I'd be honored to. Abba, Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you and lift you and exalt you, Father, for all the many things that you have done in our lives, especially leading us to the light and choosing us, Father, and shedding your blood so that we may begin the walk of righteousness and to face you and to have a relationship with you. And, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the signs that are coming upon the earth. We thank you for all that we see and feel in our hearts, Father, because we know that the time is imminent, that your return is just right here upon us. And, Father, we've heard this over the years, for years, but we know now because we see the signs, we feel the signs, the birth pains of your imminent return is fixing to take place, Father, and we just love you for this. And we look so forward to you bringing in your kingdom. Father, we know there's a lot of trials and tribulations that's going to start before these things happen. And Lord, we just ask you to open the hearts and lead hearts to find truth out there that's listening to this program. Father, we just ask you to bring them to us just like you bring moths to the flame, the light of a flame. And Father, let us be that shining light. Let our wicks be burning with the oil, Father, so that we may be a beacon to those that are lost and lead those that are lost to us so that we may give them the good news and what you have done in our lives and what you are doing for the world. And Father, we just praise you for your redemption. Lord, be with what we do tonight and what we speak on, Father. Honor the words that come out of our lips, and we'll give you all the praise in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I'm excited just thinking about the title. I put the title, Mr. Dan, Ms. Christina, episode title tonight is going to be about the blood moon, a sign to mark the sacred times. And I was looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and that particular one, that, and you know, it has to be God that orders our steps, right? Because yep. I've not seen that word sacred before in my version. But there was a version I was looking at, and I was looking for this. It's how, what I was reading just did not seem to fit right. But then there was one version, and it said something about the sacred times, you know, in the Genesis 1:14. I thought, wow, well, we know, and I have seen a video, that they can now map the night sky all the way to the birth of Jesus. And, you know, the night sky really was a sign of that sacred birth. I mean, if people could just watch that. I think it is called the Celestial Poem, Mr. Dan. I don't know if you got to see that video, Mr. Dan Fraley, but it was awesome. You know, God just, you know, moved the heavens and the, you know, the skies and the stars so that, you know, it would just, you know, there's no doubt what was happening on that day. It was the birth of the Savior. But now here we go again, the blood moon. So I'm going to let you two have that conversation. I'm just going to be listening in. Just so excited to be a part of this. Mr. Dan Fraley and Ms. Christina Micus, both are really students of Jewish roots, Hebraic roots, and so they're going to be able to really just delve into this. So thank you both. But go ahead. Take it away. I'll let you start, Mr. Dan, if you want to. Ms. Christina, you and him. Have at it.
Thank you for lifting me up to a goal that I can't possibly achieve, but I'll do my best. You're absolutely right. You know, the Lord places signs before us, and the stars and the heavens are a sign to us, not speaking in terms of astrology, but he does place signs in the heavens. to forewarn or to you know to I guess to hail or you know to let him know that or let us know the people of the earth that things are fixing to happen and of course the star that appeared over Bethlehem or the wise men followed to Bethlehem is an interesting one because you know stars just don't move from north to south and that star they followed to Jerusalem and then they turned and went south from Jerusalem into Bethlehem. You know, stars just don't do a turn in the sky and head south. But yes, there's going to be signs. And these blood moon triads that are going to be in 2014, 2015 are going to be awesome. Maybe not visibly awesome, but it's awesome to those who have eyes to see and know that the Lord is Advent is upon us. And we'll be ready for it. But these signs that the blood moon triad seem to have always affected things that happened to Israel. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, there was the blood moon triad. When they conquered Jerusalem in 1967, there was a blood moon triad. And you can trace it back even further into the Night of Broken Glass when the Nazis came against the Jews. There was that month there was a blood moon triad, and you can take it all the way back to the pogroms and in 1492 when Isabella and King Ferdinand ran the Jews out of Spain or forced them to convert. There was a blood moon triad. So it seems to be a sign to us, just as Israel itself is a sign to the nations that there is a God. You want to put anything in there?
No, I was just kind of following you on the tetrads, and the one thing I wanted to put in about the tetrads, which is the four blood moons with a partial solar eclipse in between, is they fall on the Jewish feast days. That's what makes these so special. And
right,
when you were mentioning that they were in 1492, and then again in 4950, that was it, when Israel finally became, you know, legitimately a state, and then they were again in 67, and then again, well, 67 and then now. But each of those times, there's been other blood moons before, other tetrads, but never on the Jewish feast days. That's what makes these so significant.
Right.
These are going to fall on Passover 2014, Sukkot 2014, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, and then again, the partial solar eclipse comes on the 9th of Av in 2015, and then Passover 2015 is the third blood moon, and then the fourth blood moon, again, on Sukkot 2015. The partial solar eclipse is on Rosh Hashanah, and then the super blood moon, the last blood moon in this tetrad is a super blood moon, and it will be seen over Jerusalem. They will be able to see it over the Mount of All, the Temple Mount.
That's awesome.
I know. Oh, it's so exciting.
We're just a few days off. Now, Passover is the 15th. Passover Eve, of course, is the 14th and even, so it'd be early that morning on the 15th, there should be the first appearance of the blood moon. That's exciting. And what's really strange about it is, it's not happening on our Easter. It's happening on Passover, the Jewish holidays. But the Jewish holidays should be our holidays, too, according to the scriptures. We should be following those, too. But we have allowed paganism to eke in and change those feast days. But there's such a teaching in the feast days by themselves. Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits and Shavuot and Sukkot and Yom Teruah Yom Kippur. We lose the teachings when we don't teach that in our churches.
Boy, amen. Well, and we don't. We don't teach any Hebraic roots, and that's what's missing in the whole, that's the missing link.
I was going to say, that's all about the Messiah. You know, Passover, he was our Passover lamb. If you go back to Leviticus 23, it's the only day in the Jewish calendar that starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When did Jesus die? He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was placed on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. At the same time, the sacrificial lamb is tied to the horns of the altar on the Temple Mount. And that's the last lamb that's sacrificed while everyone else is having their lamb sacrificed, and a droplet of blood is being placed into the cauldron that a young priest is holding. That last lamb is slain, and the priest says, it is finished, and takes the cauldron away from the young priest and walks to the altar to sprinkle the blood on the altar with some hyssop. And while he's walking there, he says, don't touch me, for I have not ascended to the Father. You know, all these things are perfect. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the psalms that were being sung by the Levitical choir, Psalms 114 through 118, are all about the Messiah. It's just an awesome thing to me. And if people were taught in the churches in main Christendom about the feast and how they relate to to the Messiah and how he fulfilled these were very prophetic things that happened. They'd get excited. They'd understand that there's teachings they're missing out on. And way back in the past, Constantine or the Nicene Council, it was that far back, changed the feast days. They took the Jewishness out of it and syncretized them with the pagan holidays of Ishtar and Moloch. So it messed everything up.
God in Sunday for the sun god. Back
right.
That was Constantine, yeah. And what we don't realize, too, is that Yeshua represents not only the Passover lamb, but he's unleavened bread.
Exactly.
Because he had no leaven in him. Leaven is sin. And so he was that. Then when he rose, he was first fruits. So each of these spring feast days has a tremendous significance. And then, of course, Pentecost, Shavuot, is when the Holy Spirit came down. And I don't know, I'm not saying anything, but I just think that there's going to be a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit that starts in on those that are, you know, working for the Lord and to bring in this final harvest before his return. But we
right.
don't understand that there are still the fall feast days to be fulfilled. Yeshua has yet to fulfill those. That's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot.
Right, and Rosh Hashanah is the secular word for the Jewish New Year's. The old ancient teaching of it is Yom Terura, which is the High Trumpet Day.
Yes, Feast of Trumpets. That's what they call it, Feast of Trumpets. And then you have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Right.
And then you have Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's when Yeshua actually returns to Tabernacle.
Mr. Dan?
Yes.
Ms. Christina, if I may ask, for us that are listening to y'all, and I think I could just listen to y'all for days, because these are signs of the times, and there's a lot of us that's not versed in the things that you all are, because like you said, you know, we are so surrounded by paganism and things have been changed. Can you start giving us kind of I don't know how long you want to spend on it, but just a little bit of a, you know, where people need to start looking at the dates. Can you give us some dates so that we can maybe start writing them down? You know, really, we have to be aware of the importance of these dates in our own calendar version, if you don't mind.
You'd have
to
put it in the Jewish calendar in order for it, because don't forget, our calendar, Diana, I just went blank. Gregorian, the other word? I just went blank. But anyway, you have, they go by the sun and the moon.
Right.
They go by the sun. So you have.
Okay, but can you explain it in a time that we can understand? Because it's hard for me to understand, but so that I can at least try to attempt and follow, if you don't mind.
Okay.
You'll have to go on the Internet and probably bring up a Jewish calendar to see the difference in the date. But interesting, this year, the month of April and the month of Nisan on the Jewish calendar are the same days. The 14th of Nisan is the 14th of April and the 15th of Nisan and so on. But Passover begins when the sun goes down on the 14th of April. And it and it will go through until let's see here.
Sundown.
Until until Saturday. You have the first the Shabbat, the Sabbath on Saturday, and first fruits you have on the 20th. And now Easter Day. Wait a minute. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let me go and get my.
The thing that's different is the Jewish calendar back when Jesus was placed in the grave is different than what this month will be. They go from a 30-day cycle. But if you go on and look at a Jewish calendar, you'll see when the feast days are. Basically, they run the week of the 14th through the 19th. And then you got from there you have Shavuot, or what we call Pentecost, which is 49 days and a Sabbath later. So it'll be 50 days after the first fruits. And then in the fall, I'm looking through my calendar real quick here. Let's see. We have in September, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Tura starts on the 24th of September. And you have three holy Sabbath days in a row there. Of course, you have the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, which is what we call Tabernacles.
Now, are you saying the 27th? So, did you say three high holidays? Is that so? 24th, 25th, 26th, or is it 25th, 26th, 27th? September.
Okay, the 24th. Yeah, September the 24th, when the sun goes down. Remember, that starts the next day on the Jewish calendar. A Jewish day goes from sundown to the next sundown. So on the 24th, when the sun goes down, is actually our 25th, which that starts Yom Teruah, and it lasts for 2 days. Remember, it's a 48-hour day because no man knoweth except the Father in heaven. That's referred to. Those 2 days are referred to as the day that no man knows except the Father in the heaven. So it's a two-day celebration. It'll be the 25th and the 26th. Now, if the Lord's going to appear, maybe if there's a rapture, that would be probably, you know, Jesus said himself, no man knoweth except the Father in heaven. And then you have the next day after that, you have, not the next day. Let me turn my calendar here.
You go all the way from there until you get to the 3rd of October, which begins Yom Kippur. So Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, goes from the 25th.
Yeah, I'm missing my October is missing out on a thing. I don't know what happened to it.
Jeez. Okay, October on the 3rd of October, 2014, begins Yom Kippur again at sundown. That's the eve of the Day of Atonement. Then the 4th of October, which is a Saturday, is Yom Kippur. Remember, these are the Sabbaths for the Lord. You know, Constantine is the one that gave us Sunday as a Sabbath. So then you have Yom Kippur, which is your Day of Atonement,
mm-hmm.
on the 4th. Then, 8th of September, of October, I'm sorry, 2014, you have Sukkot. Eve.
Cool.
I mean, yeah, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, Tabernacles. That's the Eve on October the 8th, and that's the Blood Moon.
Right.
Wow.
That's your second Blood Moon of 2014, right there on the 8th of October. Sundown, again, because that goes sundown to, and Sukkot goes for 8 days.
Right. And that represents the 1,000-year reign of Christ.
That's he's supposed to come and establish his millennial kingdom. You know, the word tells us we know not the date or the time, but we may know the season of Yeshua's return to take out his bride. Well, the season is Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. And they talk in Revelation about blowing the trumpet and the dead shall rise. So it will come during the season of Rosh Hashanah. We just don't know necessarily which
one. Wow. Well, you know, I was just reading that Genesis 1:14. Do you have the Bible in front of you, Miss Christina? I'm not in front of it.
I got
talking about, you know, the signs of the seasons. And so I just love that when you said the season.
Mm-hmm. Genesis 1:14. I got a new Bible. Pages are all stuck together.
Okay, 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and tokens of God's provident care, and to mark seasons, days, and years.
Right. And remember, in Genesis there, it's the day is evening and the day. The evening always starts first. That's why the Jews consider the day starting
right.
when the sun goes down.
Right.
In Revelations 12, you said a minute ago about the Holy Spirit being poured out in the last days. There was a couple things. Gosh, I don't know if I remember. One of them is Acts 5. The Spirit is going to be poured out because of our obedience. I think when people start realizing that obedience and righteousness are one and the same, starting to follow the precepts of Christ and God, then the Spirit will be poured out. But a lot of people mistake that we're not under the law. But listen to this. This is Acts 5:32. We are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit. Elohim hath given to them that obey Him. Now let me run over to Revelations 12 real quick. It says, remember when the dragon went off to make war with the woman as she gave birth to the man child, and she was flown into protection. That child, the woman is Israel, the child is the Messiah, but he cannot hurt the Messiah because he stepped on the serpent's head. But then the dragon goes off to make war with the rest of her remnant. That would be Ephraim, or the Christian remnant. And the dragon's wrath with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yeshua, the Messiah. It's going to be people that the Spirit's going to be poured out of those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of the Messiah. There's so many people these days and time that they profess Christ with their lips, but their heart's not being obedient to Christ. So, yeah, you are absolutely right. The Spirit will be poured out in the last days, but it's going to be on those who are obedient, because what moves the hand of God is that obedience. You got to have a relationship with God. And this is a sign. These blood moons that are coming are a sign for us to prepare the way. And Jesus himself said, as in the days of Noah. Well, Noah didn't know when the flood was going to come until it was revealed to him 7 days before it happened. And the Lord closed the door to the ark. It didn't rain for 7 days. Christ himself said that those who have ears and eyes will not know the day nor the hour, but will know the season. This is a sign of we're coming into the season of his return. This is what is exciting me because, we're right here. My generation, I don't know how old you are, but my generation was told that when we see the Jewish folks that has been scattered across the globe into diaspora come back and reclaim the nation in 1948, that generation would see him coming in his power and glory. And I was born in 47, so I'm right there, and I'm getting old, so I know he's just right around the corner because I'm a physical example of that.
Wow. This is so exciting to hear y'all. Yeah, it's so good, and I just love knowing the dates. Thank you for going through that because a lot of people listen, Mr. Dan, Ms. Christina, but we're bad about not checking, you know. So thank you for giving us those dates. And isn't it amazing? I know that, you know, there's a movie called Noah coming out, and I think I heard that the atheist producer or whoever made that movie, you know, he said it's the most unbiblical, movie ever. But I think just the fact that it's about Noah, who is biblical, a biblical, person,
yeah.
I think people will look at that and it's like, you know, these people don't understand that God can use anybody. He can even use atheists. And I'm thinking,
exactly.
You know, they just don't get it. God is, you know, bringing things to the mind of people that normally may not be there. And, Mr. Dane, you just said it. You know, you just mentioned Noah. That, you know, and I love what you just said, because Noah didn't know until 7 days before. And look, you know, and we've got to be ready. And I love that, too, about what y'all said about obedience, because I love the scripture where Jesus says, you know, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Right.
And, you know, we know that if we love somebody, as a child is taught to obey the parent, how does a child show love to the parent? It's really obedience. Obedience. And it's so key, as you said, Mr. Dan, to God. We show him love when we obey him. And it's, you know, it's not a bad thing. I think of it as, you know, God loves us so much he wants to protect us, but he cannot protect us when we're choosing to disobey. So I'm
God's
sorry, there
love,
you go.
God's love for us is grace. You know, he gave us grace, unwarranted favor. That's because he loves us so much. But because we love him, what do we do to express our love other than be obedient? That's why we're circumcised to the heart.
Amen.
Yes, and it's in that, it's in Matthew 24 about as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. But we have to remember, the enemy, Satan, can use the world's tools just like anybody else. And when you put out a movie like Noah that is anything but scriptural, God's name is not even mentioned in the movie. And not only that, but it's all about environmentalism. Noah goes to kill everybody, all of his family on the ark, because and save the animals. This is Mother Earth.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it was. I'm definitely not going to be watching that.
Don't be promoting the movie Noah, because it is anything but a godly movie. And the sad part of it is, for those people that don't know the Lord or are very lukewarm, you know, Christians or whatever, they wind up thinking that this is Bible. And there isn't anything Bible in there. It's Hollywood. They said they took some liberties. Really? I don't think Noah went around trying to kill his family because he wanted to save the animals, because, you know, humans are the problem on Earth. That's why God created the flood, don't you know?
Yeah.
Wow. We really have to be praying a lot for these people. And they're going to come in droves probably to watch that, movie.
This is the great deception of the end times. You know, Satan knows his time is short. And he's going to pull out all the stops and deceive as many as he can possibly deceive, including the elect.
And how is he going to do that?
Pardon me?
How are we going to do that other than using a spirit of religiosity and be a little bit off base, a little bit enough deceptive to lead people off the path?
Amen.
And there's so many things that I see lining up for this. And I really hate to say this one because it's going to offend people, but all these blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesuses that are pictured and hanging in a frame in churches are going to be pretty much exactly what the Antichrist is going to look like. If you were the Antichrist and were coming, wouldn't you look like that to deceive the people? What does the Bible say that Jesus looked like? He was not a man to be desired.
No, and he had hair like Brillo, if you want to call it. He had real curly hair. He was dark skin. He wasn't this blonde-haired, blue-eyed thing that we portrayed.
So if a blue-eyed, blonde-haired man comes on the scene of the earth like Obama came upon America and starts performing miracles and bringing fire down out of the sky, don't you think that people who read the Bible but don't get close enough to the scriptures to really understand the truth could be misled? I see it easily.
Very easy. It's happening right now.
Exactly.
And these movies they're putting out, Son of God, Noah, etc., they're not scriptural. So that's those are designed to deceive. And don't forget, who's the prince of the power of the airwaves? Satan himself. Who has control of Hollywood these days?
I will have to say, I did see one movie last week that was really one of the best movies I have ever seen. And that would have to be that little nothing movie that really nobody thought would be amount to anything, you know. And God's Not Dead. And Miss Christina, Mr. Dan, if y'all haven't seen it, it was, I mean, people were in tears. People were clapping. It's like a relief. It's like a relief. It's like, you know, the Christian that's been stomped on for so long, I think, you know, you kind of empathized with a young man who was the only one in that group of 100 students who would dare stand up for their faith. And it was beautiful. It was really, I think that was a very powerful movie. I do hope that more people would go watch that, because that was a movie worth watching. And like, unfairly, the no one, all that other. So out of that, I guess, isn't that what we've heard? The light shines the brightest in the dark.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's very dark right now. So when I'm hearing y'all, Miss Christina, Mr. Dan, if I'm listening, maybe an atheist, you know, I think inside, you know, there's people kind of fake things, you know. I'm not a happy person, but I'm going to be the funniest person in the party, right? If you want to see an unhappy person, go to the party and see who the happiest person is. More than likely, it's like Bill Nair. You know, he's an awesome comedian. But behind that comedy, he's hiding a really hurting person. And I believe that. So I think, you know, there's going to be people that we're not even going to know that is really inside their heart. They're looking, they're asking, they feel like they're drowning. I'm a Christian, and at times I even feel like I'm drowning. The only thing between me and the other person is I do know who's giving me the rope. You know, I do know somebody's grabbing me out of my pool of despair. So, but I can't help but think that at this time that there is going to be such a big harvest, because, Ms. Christina, we've been fighting Common Core. We're hearing about parents getting down their knees. They're hurting. They've tried the world's way. And the world isn't who they need to go to. And so when I hear you and I hear Mr. Dan, you know, if I'm not a Christian, if I'm an atheist, you know, I think I'd be doing myself a favor and finding out for myself. You know, if I've got any brain at all, I would be finding out for myself.
That's what we hope people will do, Diana, is do this research, you know, because we went through the calendar for 2014, but then there's 2015 starts it all over again, and you've got two more blood moons and a partial solar eclipse. Everything will be majorly significant. And we didn't even mention the Shemitah. The Shemitah years.
What is that?
God does everything in cycles of seven. 7 years. Seven, 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 you know. Well, Shemitah years are, for the Jewish people, they toiled the land for 6 years. The seventh year it was to rest. And debts were forgiven, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so all that stuff happened. And that's why when they were taken to Babylon, they were there 70 years. Because they did not observe the Shemitah years. For as many Shemitah years as to allow the land to rest, they did not observe those. So God kept them in Babylon as many Shemitah years as they ignored. Now, pardon me?
I was just going to say we have Sabbath days, we have Sabbath of weeks, we have a Sabbath of years, and we have a Sabbath of millennium. And we are coming into the Sabbath of the millennium Sabbath.
Right. And so now you take a look at the United States. Let's just go back to 2001. That was a Shemitah year. What happened in the United States in 2001? We had the World Trade Center and the financial collapse. The next Shemitah year, these are judgments. The next Shemitah year, was 2008. Seven.
Oh, that was good. I was going to say something. Obama.
2008, we not only had the financial collapse, we got Obama. So that was really bad. That was bad for the United States. We've never come out of this, have we? Now, with what we're doing now, turning our back on Israel, what does God say in his word? Those who bless her will be blessed. Those that curse her will be cursed. We are on the wrong side of history. The next Shemitah year is 2015. Look for September 2015. What do we have in September 2015? Blood moon.
Wow. 2015.
I know. Isn't that powerful?
That's powerful.
These are.
Do we know when? Did you say when in September 2015?
2015, you're going to have the the blood moon on, these are the 60s. Let me get to the, I think it's September 28th. Let me just double check. Yes. September 28th is the fourth blood moon. That will be your super moon. But let me back up here. Let me go to,
Is that September 27th on our calendar here, or rather here in the U.S.? Is that September 27th?
I am not looking at our calendar, but the Jewish calendar, your Passover will be on April 4th, 2015. Very significant. There's your blood moon. But right before that blood moon, as I said, on the 9th of Av, is that partial solar eclipse. Total solar eclipse, not partial. It's a total solar eclipse.
Wow.
So from
between
the second blood moon and the third blood moon on the 9th of Av, and the 9th of Av is a judgment day for the Jews. It's always has been.
That's when both are destroyed, the Babylonian invasion, and the Romans destroy the temple. It's also the night of the broken glass was on the night of Av, I think.
Right, and so that's when that total solar eclipse is going to happen. This is all very significant. Then Passover is April 4th, 2015. There's your third blood moon. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, is going to be September 13th, 2015. The final blood moon, the super blood moon, will be on the Feast of Tabernacles on 9/28/15.
And this is what's significant, because when judgments come upon the earth, you can only be dependent on God or man.
Right.
Who do you choose? You choose God or you choose man? See, judgment comes for that reason. He's basically, what that's doing is herding the goats away from the sheep. You're fixing to have to make a decision in your life. Are you going to choose light or are you going to choose darkness? And these judgments will bring you to your knees, either to the Antichrist, because he's going to show his hand first, you know, and he's going to come very peacefully and all that, put up a peace treaty. Christ is not coming peacefully this time. He's coming as a judging lion of Judah. He is going to split that eastern sky. There's going to be no question. But he's going to let the devil play his hand for at least 3.5 years before he comes. Okay.
That will be, I agree with that. And that will be when the witnesses are here ministering to the Jews. There's going to be a lot of things happening during that period of time.
Exactly.
Mr. Dan, I'm sorry, I missed what you said. Did you say something about 3 years? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, the 3.5 years, I think, is, you know, because the Antichrist signs a peace treaty for 7 years with Israel, and it's broken in the middle of it. That 3.5 years, I think at that breaking is when God will show his hand, basically. Things will escalate from there. I think that will be his returning point. I think that's when the two witnesses will be slain and laid in the street of Jerusalem, and at their 3.5 days after they are resurrected. I think that's when the dead in Christ shall rise at that same time, just as Jesus arose out of the tomb and the dead under the first fruits of the barley harvest was resurrected if their hearts were right. Why wouldn't that be a repeat of that? Everything happens, you know, purposely. So that's my feeling on that. But.
Well, Mr. Dan, let Miss Christina tell you too about a man named Zev, and what's happening with Zev. Zev Perot. I don't know if you've been on with Zev before, Mr. Dan. Have you?
No.
And Rabbi Kaduri. Miss Christina, would you tell him a little bit about that? I think that's just a very interesting thing here.
Are you at all aware of Rabbi Kaduri, Dan?
No, I don't think so. Maybe you're pronouncing it a little different, but go ahead.
Well, this is incredible. This is incredible. There was a major rabbi in Israel, Rabbi Yitzhak.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. He wrote Yeshua's name. I know who you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly. Well, he had visions, you know, from Messiah, and 3 years prior to his death, he lived to be 108 years old. And 3 years prior to his death, because he was seeking, he was looking, he wanted to know. So the Lord came to him, and he had, you know, time with the Lord three years before his death. Well, then he wrote a note. Now, he also, one of the most significant things prior to his death, is he stood up in the synagogue and proclaimed this. And rabbis don't do that, especially the senior rabbi. They don't get up and give messages. That was very, very significant. Now, in Israel right now, they're trying to bury this whole story. But it's very powerful, and it's getting out, and it is become such a powerful tool that my friend is using to minister to not only Orthodox Jews, but to Arabs as well. It's just powerful what's happening. But anyway, so Yitzhak Kaduri was 108 years old when he passed away. He left a note, and the note was with instructions that the note was not to be opened until 1 year after his death. 1 year after his death, they opened the note and they posted it. Well, after they posted it, they realized what it said, that Yeshua was the Messiah.
Right.
And they couldn't have that. I mean, obviously the rabbis went crazy over this and they tore it down. But the point was, it was already out there and so many had gotten a hold of it. And Rabbi Kaduri's son is one of the ones that's trying to suppress this, saying, oh no, it's not real, it didn't happen, it's not my father's handwriting, it's just, but it's all proven. He also said in this note that the Lord told him he will not come before Ariel Sharon must die first.
Right.
Ariel Sharon, now we'll go back to Ariel Sharon real quick. In 2005, George W. Bush kind of forced Israel to give up Gaza to the Palestinian Hamas. And Ariel Sharon forcibly removed the Jews from their land. What does God say about taking their land? It wasn't but a couple days later, while they were evacuating Gaza, Katrina hit the United States, and we were evacuating Louisiana. Now, that's a very interesting little side note there of things that, you know, these are judgments. When you touch God, the apple of his eye. Well, then the rabbis over there, there was a group of rabbis that put a curse on Ariel Sharon. Shortly thereafter, that's when he had a stroke and he never recovered. Ariel Sharon has just passed away.
Yes.
Now, if you go back to Yitzhak Kaduri's note, that I will be coming after Ariel Sharon's death, specifically mentioning Ariel Sharon. What are they trying to do now over in Israel but force Israel back to its 67 borders, force them to give up land for peace? And God says no. So judgments are going to come. Well, right now there's a book out. It's called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah by Carl Gallup. And the interesting thing is my friend in Israel, Zev Porat, who came from a rabbinic family, was a rabbi, all of this stuff, found Messiah, was ministered to by a guy in the United States for 4 years on the internet of all places. And he wound up receiving Yeshua. And not only that, he had a Damascus Road kind of experience. And he reminds me so much of Paul. It's just insane. But anyway, he has an incredible evangelical ministry now in Israel. And God is sending him to rabbis, to Arab. A couple weeks ago, the Lord sent him into a mosque. And if you can believe this, without, you know, going into a whole long thing about it, it was supernatural. The imam not only let him in, and after he started talking to him about the Quran and stuff, they put the Quran down. The whole time Zev's praying, the next thing you know, Zev's pulling out the Bible, the gospel of Yeshua. And he's using the Rabbi Kaduri story to reach this Arab, this imam. Mm-hmm. Well, he sat there hours ministering to the imam in a mosque about Messiah Yeshua. And afterwards, he just told me day before yesterday, the imam has called him now and wants to meet with him again.
Fantastic.
Then the Lord sent him into a synagogue, and he was to take the Rabbi Kaduri book. He spent the entire time in the synagogue ministering to the students, the rabbinic students, about Messiah Yeshua, and the rabbi's going, no, we don't, and the students are going, no, we want to hear. Everybody's gathering around, and there's Zev ministering about Messiah Yeshua, using the Rabbi Kaduri story because he was one of the most powerful rabbis in the world.
Right.
And they can't really dispute what it is he said.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's amazing the things that are happening. Yesterday the Lord told him to go out to this outreach and to take his laptop and the DVD of the Rabbi Kaduri story, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. The next thing you know, people all over are sitting around, coming around, gathering around, watching the video. He said it was the most supernatural thing he's ever seen. And people were into it, and they were hearing the story. So it's just a powerful, powerful story, and I encourage you to get the book or the DVD, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah by Carl Gallup, and learn about who Rabbi Kaduri is. And there's also the book and the movie out about the blood moons by Mark Biltz, B-I-L-T-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Do yourself a favor. Get those. Learn about the blood moons and what the significance is. It's amazing. And we all need to know this, and I'll shut up in a minute here. We all need to know this for the time that we're in. It's critical that we understand the Jewish calendar and the Jewish feast days, because that's what God is working on. He's not working on our calendar. I'm off my soapbox now.
You know, this is something that you may be interested in. When I was in Israel, I found out something that is going on the same here in this country in our seminaries. The students are saying, you know, we're tired of hearing about the history of religion and religious organizations, so we want to understand the scriptures more. We need to concentrate on scriptures. And in Israel, in the Shivas over there, the students are saying we want to hear less about Talmud and more about scripture. You know, it's like God is naturally opening the eyes of the youth that are searching for truth, and giving them avenues and changing things in that direction. But yet in the secular world, it's just the opposite. It's getting in the other direction. And Diane, I want to get your email because I've got to send you this book, this little video on this book. It's a children's book for 10 years old and above that's just been published and put out. And it's showing kids, telling kids all about sex, and it's got graphic pictures of boys on boys and girls and boys and explaining sex and how to masturbate and all these things. Since you're into that Common Core, this is a book that's been sanctioned by Common Core to be placed in the school libraries, and I think you need to know about it.
What's it called?
Gosh, I can't remember. It's,
Is it Perfectly Normal?
It's Perfectly Normal? Yeah, we got it.
Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking, Mr. Dan. Yeah. You are right. It is really heartbreaking.
You know, going to the point you made a minute ago about the yeshivas and stuff, going back to my friend Zev, he's been ministering to the Rabbi Kaduri students for over two years now. Do you know 10 of them have received Messiah?
Praise God.
Isn't that amazing? And now he's using the book, and they've all seen the book and the movie, and you're absolutely right. They want to know more. Not about rabbinic studies. They want to know more about the gospel.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So God is on the move. God is on the move.
Wow. Y'all, this conversation is so timely. And I asked God for a word while y'all were speaking. And I am on Matthew chapter 8. And it's were 23. And you know, Miss Christina, before I called, you know how upset I was. Huh? It's like I feel like I'm in a storm. You know, and Matthew 8:23, it says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. So the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And, you know, I feel like that with all these children that we're so worried about, that's in the midst of this indoctrination, this nationalized education system, Common Core, where all the money from the Bill Gates, you know, the most, I guess he's probably the richest man on earth, along with the most powerful government on earth, you know, is forcing this indoctrination that is really so anti-God. That's the basis of it. And but I love it because Jesus woke up, and you know, because I almost feel like, Lord, they're going to hurt these children. And then, you know, Jesus awakes and he says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And they said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And when I hear y'all talk, what kind of man is this? Even the stars and the seasons, you know, obey him.
Mm-hmm.
And they have written a story, they have written warnings, and I just love hearing y'all with those dates. You know, I mean, God is, he's wanting us to be ready. I mean, what, you know, for people to say that I'm just not sure, I think, you know, I'll think about it. Give me another 10 years. Oh, how good of God to give us signs.
Yeah.
It's just really, and he is able to do that after all. He is God. He made the heavens and the night sky. But anyway, I'm just so excited. But anyway, go ahead.
You've got to remember, Anna, we need to follow God's calendar, not our calendar.
Exactly. And there needs to be messianics rising up in all the different church congregations to restore as many people that love Christ to the proper foundation and learn about the calendar and learn about the feast of the Lord and being obedient to the instructions of God, the Torah. And I think this is going to happen. It's going to be a natural thing, and it already is. I mean, I was raised up in Christian churches and became Messianic. I've been Messianic now for, gosh, 18 years or so. But thank God I found a deeper way to study Scriptures and to fall in love with my Lord in a whole different way. I just want to have a total relationship with him in his word and in prayer and in obedience, I received knowledge that I wouldn't have got just reading over the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit directing.
Oh, amen. And, you know, Mark Biltz, the one that did the book on the blood moons, John Hagee also has one out, but Mark Biltz has the DVD. But anyway, he also has a DVD out that's called The Feast Days of Our Lord. And it would be a great DVD for you listeners to get a hold of. You can get it off of WorldNet Daily, I know. And study up on the feast days. Learn God's calendar, because that's what God's working on.
Well, Ms. Christine, I want to put that on the link, on the description. And what was the name again of the DVDs that you're talking about?
The Feast Days of Our Lord by Mark Biltz, B-I-L-T-Z.
I spell his, okay. B-I-L what?
B-I-L-T-Z.
Okay.
And it's the Feast of the Lord, the Feast of the Lord. And then his other DVD is the Blood Moons.
Oh, I'm going to put that on our description. So, folks, you can link up to that. I'll put a link in there.
On WorldNet Daily, you can get the book, the DVD, both DVDs I just mentioned, the book and the Jewish calendar. So that
wow.
You can follow God's calendar.
Oh, my goodness.
So God's made it available to us. All we have to do is take advantage of it and study ourselves approved.
Wow. I'm excited. I needed this. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Dan.
I was going to say, in the beginning, I mentioned something about the water turning blood. I just want to mention those real quick. The Beirut River in Lebanon turned red, red the whole length and breadth of it. The Australia, the Bati and the Coolie beaches, they had an algae bloom that was red, and the Yangtze River in China has turned red. There's some lake in France. I haven't researched that to find out exactly where it is that's turned red. And the Azov Sea in Russia has turned red. There's red rain falling in India and Sri Lanka. And in Slovakia, the Slovakia waterway has turned red. This has all happened in the last couple of weeks.
And what does it say? The waters will be turned to blood.
Right. It's mysterious signs happening all over. Also, I've just saw on Facebook, I haven't researched that very good, but they're showing videos where people have taken with their cameras from all over the world, different sites, and they're recording trumpet blasts out in the middle of the woods or in the middle of a town, and nobody can explain where they're coming from, and they're real deep and long, and there's nothing that man has that can make a sound like that.
I've seen those too. I've actually heard them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Is it on Facebook that we can listen to that, Mr. Dan? Or?
Somebody would have to put it on their wall, and you know how fast things go through wall. I can't keep up. I have to keep posting them to keep them up at the top because they go by so fast.
How can I find it? Sorry. Can I Google it? How would I Google?
I had a link on an email, but I have to go back then and see if I can find that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's free.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You might be able to Google trumpet sounds in the sky, unexplained trumpet sounds in the sky, and see what you get.
Oh, my goodness.
That might help. But, you know, here the Lord just gave me Proverbs, you know, kind of like as a summation. He says, Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law or teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. And in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths.
Wow. Well, God is such a good God. And it's just like a father. He warns. Fathers warn their children. And Father, our Heavenly Father, is the best Father. And so it's not incredible that he would send us, you know, warnings. He loves us. And so we need to use these warnings. We need to be getting ready. So, I tell you, Mr. Dan, you know, God is so good. I've been thinking about calling you because I know Ms. Christina had spoken about, and thank God Ms. Christina called me today because, I had thought about her too, but... You know, I couldn't have put you two together. It was God putting you two together. And I you know, listening to you both and the breadth of information you have given, you know, I am just stirred in wonder for my Lord. And y'all had me in tears talking a little bit earlier because, you know, it's just so overwhelming to know how much God loves you. And really, you know, he gives you all this to let you know. Go ahead, Mr. Dan.
There's some good websites for studies in Messianic eras. There's 119 Ministries, and there's the YRM.org, which is Yahweh's Restoration Ministry. All of these sites are good teaching sites with videos and written things, you know, to teach you about the feast days and, well, you know, just put a little more Jewishness into our word and get a better understanding of some of the things that were portrayed in the New Testament that have been watered down by the followers of worshipers, basically. I call them of the Pauline doctrine. Paul did not die for me. Paul did not get up on the cross. Now, Paul never was one of the disciples. He never met Christ. But I'm not saying he was chosen by God, but people are misinterpreting some of the things that he's teaching, and it has become doctrine in our seminaries and in our churches. But if you get into a restoration type ministry and study some of these things, it'll just be, it's just awesome to see. You know, it's like talking about changing your heart. When it talks about the heart, the Hebrew word leba actually refers to the you know, your will and your wisdom. You know, your heart has to be right with the Lord. That your heart becomes right by being obedient. You know, placing God in a glorified position in your life, glorifying him, giving him credit for everything in your life rather than giving man credit. This is where blessing comes from. It doesn't mean don't have trials and tribulations in our lives, but when Christ died on that cross, it gave us the power to put our foot on Satan's head, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. You know, our light is, we can step into these dark places because the darkness can't overcome light, but light can overcome darkness. Don't be afraid of these atheists. Meet them face on, and you'll be surprised how the Holy Spirit will give you things that will plant seeds in them, because his word will not return void. It will go out and do set it and perform the purpose that it was set out to do, even in an atheist's mind. You know, if he rejects it, it's because he's hardened his heart. But they know truth. Mm-hmm. You know, they just want to answer to a higher power. They can get away with all the shady things and the wicked things that they do if they don't have to answer to somebody for it.
Wow. Mr. Dan, how do you spell that Leba, the obedient, or what you were saying? Is it L-E-B-A or...
Yeah, I think it's LEBA. You can look it up in the Strom's. I forget what number it is. I can probably find out real quick. Let me see. Hard.
I just.
Psalms 30:20.
Psalms what? I'm sorry. 38:20. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much.
Psalms 38:20. Strom's.
Oh, okay. S-T-R-O-H-M-S. I'm sorry.
Also,
okay.
I would like to see what Psalms 38:20 says now that you got me curious.
Let's find out what is in Psalms 38:20.
You never know
Miss
how
Christina,
the Lord works.
Mr. Dan is a lot of fun, isn't he? I mean,
yeah.
So is Miss Christina. So both of you together. And I can't wait. I think, Miss Christina, we need to have him on with Mr. Zev Garot, too. Ms. Christina, would you mind mentioning while he's looking that up about Mr. Zev's ministry? Okay.
MessiahofIsraelMinistries.org.
Did you hear that, Mr. Dan? You need to write that down.
Messiah what?
MessiahofIsraelMinistries.org.
Okay. Okay, Psalms 38:20 says, "They also that render evil for good are my adversaries, because I follow the things that are good."
Oh, I like that one, too. God uses everything. Even my accident. Well, y'all have just uplifted me. I was, before the show, I was really, I think, turmoil.
Yeah, you were down, honey.
I was in a turmoil. But there's nothing like remembering God and his sovereignty. And Mr. Dan, you've talked about that word, remember. Can you tell me again what you've said about in the past? I love it when you talk about the word remember.
I don't remember what it was.
You said remember was very important. God wants us to remember. But
you know,
anyway, that was another
time. I would encourage you to go on to, I do a radio show with Zev every Monday. And I can send you the link, or I'll send it to Diane if she can send it to you or whatever. And listen to, Zev just did a teaching on the seven seals. And it was very powerful.
You know, that is so funny. The seventh seal?
Seven seals. The seven seals of Revelation.
You know, that's very interesting, Miss Christina. I had a little boy today just with a little Bible turn the pages, and guess what it was turned on? It was on the seven seals. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I thought, you know, there's something here that God is telling me. But anyway, so I'm going to have to read it. I'm going to have to listen to that. But tell us the, okay, well, you already said the website, so we need to listen to it. So it's a podcast on his website, Ms. Christina?
No, the podcast is on ours. It's Messiah of Israel Ministries Live. You can go to Israel Live on Talk Radio,
Well, he'll be on next Wednesday, so maybe he can come on and talk about that next Wednesday. He comes on every other Wednesday, Mr. Dan. So maybe you can come on. I think you would like it. You would just love him.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, we've went over our time, but really our time is God's time. So just so grateful to have both of you. You know, there is nothing like, you know, for people that are feeling bad, one of the first things you need to do is find you some good Christian folks, like Miss Christina and Mr. Dan.
There's nothing like getting into the Word and getting into fellowship, and by the time you're done, you just feel so much better.
Yeah, and I guess that's why Jesus said, do not forsake, right? The Bible says, do not forsake. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Dan.
I was just going to tell you, if you want to feel better, get excited, more, pray for Israel. Israel. And you'll get a blessing. Read the book of Revelations. You'll get a blessing. It promises you. So, you know, plus, like you said, that's what we are to do as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to embellish and lift each other up. And if you're down, call me. We'll pray.
Amen.
Well, I'm looking at Psalm 40, verse 9. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Oh, my goodness. And then what follows after that is wonderful, too. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll read a little bit. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. Oh, God is good. Okay, with that in mind, Mr. Dan, since you just said pray for Israel, would you mind praying for Israel? And if you don't mind, pray for the children. Me and Miss Christina, she's got an Operation Jericho. People need to go to her website. Miss Christina, the website for Operation Jericho?
OperationJerichoProject.com. And we're out to save God's children, because these are his children that he gave to us on loan. They're only on loan. And we've given them over to the government. We got to take them back. God's calling his children. So join us in Operation Jericho, please.
And I believe in what she's doing, and so we ask people to please look into that. But, yes, Mr. Dan, you know, we really feel for the children. There is going to be a great accounting and these people that unfortunately have bought into this common core, they're going to have a great reckoning coming, but hopefully they will repent. So anyway, Mr. Dan, would you mind closing us in prayer? And
no,
then,
Ms.
Christina, if you don't mind, after he goes on, if you want to add something, Ms. Christina. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Dan, sorry.
Abba Bashamim, Baruch Abba Bashem Adonai, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for our fellowship tonight on the radio, on Blog Talk Radio. Father, we just ask you to rain down your Holy Spirit power on those that are out there listening, everyone that will listen to this, even in the future, Father, just embellish them with your Holy Spirit power and give them joy in their heart. And, Lord, help them to have a desire to search your scriptures to find truth, find their path to you, Father, and especially to discover that your Son, Yeshua, poured out his blood to give us the grace that we so much do not deserve, but that takes that load off of our shoulders so that we can concentrate on serving you and preparing for your kingdom. And, Father, I ask you to bless all who hear and see things in your kingdom and in your holy word. We praise you for that, Father. And we thank you once again for the conversations tonight. And we thank you for all the love that you've given us in our lives and all the provisions, Father. We just ask you to order our footsteps as we walk through this life and keep us on the path of righteousness and out of judgment. We just give you all the praise and glory. And Lord, be with Israel. Be with Jerusalem and be with all of Israel and the people, Father. Open the hearts of the rabbis and the Orthodox and the ultra-Orthodox to see your imminent return. They know that you're fixing to come as their Messiah. They just don't know who you are yet. And, Lord, I've seen them stand at the Western Wall and cry out to the Messiah. And, Lord, if they just knew you, and, Father, I know you will reveal yourself to them when the time is right. And, Father, we just ask you to protect and bless that nation and protect them especially from the decisions of the evil governments that are trying to get them to do things that you do not desire. And we give you all the praise and glory in Yeshua's name.
Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach Adonanu. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, listeners, oh, I love these two folks, and it's because Jesus loved me, and I'm so grateful he sent them to me, and he can send you people like these. He's just a prayer away. So thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Please share the podcast. Tell your friends. Go to www.cityonahill.tv and share the podcast tonight. What a great thing God has done. And the title of tonight's The Blood Moon, A Sign to Mark the Sacred Times. God is so good.
Amen.
He wants you to know. So thank you, Miss Christina, and thank you, Mr. Dan. Love you both. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your life. And who knows, maybe soon I'll be seeing y'all in heaven.
Amen. Shalom.
But for now, shalom. Bye-bye.
Shalom. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.